listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 90. Hey everybody, Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the fully clothed and caffeinated at the same time, John Brownstone.
Amazing, isn't it?
I know, it only happens like once every blue moon.
Blue moon, yeah.
Really? We have the same joke together? Oh God. We're there, we're so fucking cute. Okay, today we're talking about topping from the bottom. What it is, what it isn't, and what to do about it.
Yep.
It's a big topic.
Yes, it is.
From my little bit on Twitter, it's fucking controversial.
Yeah, it is. I blew up last night.
Right. I'm so sorry. I tweeted and then said, can you watch Twitter for me? And ran. Okay. So welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast.
Thank you.
If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite RSS feed or iTunes, or Apple Podcasts, as it wants to be known now. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review on, what, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening to this review. And if you hear that in the background, he is swooshing his coffee. We would love a review is what I'm trying to ask for, like the grown-up I'm pretending to be. Reviews really do work, so we really do appreciate them. You can follow.
Please and thank you.
Please and thank you with coffee.
Yeah.
If we could, we would pay in coffee.
Yeah.
It's probably unethical, though, but we'd probably do it. No, we wouldn't
Cigars?
Do it. Only some people want those.
True.
Can I finish the intro so we can get into the show? Thank you, Daddy. And if you're new, I am so sorry. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM or just check us out at the website LovingBDSM.net. All links are in the show notes. So this week's episode is brought to you by me, Kayla Lords, Ooh, erotic author.
Really?
And some people out there are going, what? She's an author? Yeah, I do that too. Yeah, I do. So for the month of July in 2017, in case anybody's listening to this in the future, because we are timey-wimey around here, all of my books on Smashwords are 50% off. Now, that is with a coupon code, SSW50, which will be in the show notes page. But I have 6 books, which is not as many as I would like to have, but it is more than other people. So there's that. I have an entire completed, finally, it took me forever, series called the Sir and Baby Girl series, which is loosely based on a cute couple y'all might have heard of.
Who'd that be?
I don't know, but I hear they're really cute. And then I actually did a little dabbling in erotic poetry and a haiku thing I did on the blog for a couple of years. I turned it into a book.
Yep.
And then I also have a novella, which I have got the rough draft of the second part of. Not a cliffhanger, but kind of a series where each one can stand alone. This one's called, the one that's published is called Madame Gretchen, and she's sadistic, and she teaches newbie kinksters, but she also learns a few things about herself.
She's hot.
And there's so much kinky fuckery. There's no actual sex.
I know.
So much kinky fuckery.
She's hot.
I think she is. I actually, in my head, I imagined her as somebody I knew when I was very young, who was, when you looked at her, you thought, oh, she's so little and cute, like a kitten, but she had fucking claws.
She's a firecracker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm pretty sure even as a fully mature grown adult, she probably is more now. Stole the name, stole in my mind's eye what she looked like, everything. Yeah, from like 20 years ago. So, and that, from what I've been told by people who I am friends with who read my books, people I'm friends with online, they love that more than almost anything.
Yeah.
And there's not any
my favorite.
Aw. But everything I write is supposed to be your favorite, Daddy. I
well,
thought
that's
it was
my favoriteist.
Okay. Well, I have got... Okay, we'll take that. This doesn't help for the Smashwords sale, but I do have the second in that series written. It's just waiting to be edited, and it's because I'm just juggling too many things all at once. That's why it's not done yet. Exactly. Are you pretending to juggle where the people at the podcast can't see you? You know, this is an audio thing we do here, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't pretend to juggle. Nobody will know. Anyway, we've completely... Thank God nobody's paying for this sponsorship. Totally derailed it. We would be more professional if people paid for it.
Yes.
Or when they pay for it, we're more professional.
It's only because it's you.
It's only because it's me. Right. Whatever. It's that Kayla chick. Who's she? I don't know. Anyway, so Smashwords, some people avoid Smashwords because they're like, but I use a Kindle or I use a Nook. Well, the cool thing about Smashwords is that you can get the formats for those books through Smashwords. It takes a couple extra steps, though, which is why some people don't do it. But if you don't have an ebook and you read from PDF, or you have like more of a generic off-brand one, I know they're out there. Right. Smashwords is usually great, and all of my titles are 50% off for the entire month.
They're compatible pretty much most every e-reader out there. Sony, Barnes & Noble, and...
all of them, yeah. I've tried to make sure that I have the right formats for everybody. That's what I try to do. So, yeah, sale going on through the entire month of July. And if you buy a book, you make me very happy. You support a starving artist. Okay, I'm not starving. I could lose a few. But you know, I didn't write the books just because I thought, you know, it'd be really cool to see my name on a ebook cover. I did do it so people might buy them. So it's a way to support the show. It's a way to read some kinky fuckery. My erotic fiction is all DS based. I know y'all are shocked out there. And it is all, I think it's kind of hot, but it's all realistic. Like, yeah. I have read the stuff that's the billionaire and secretary thing. And there, when written well, it's really, really hot.
Right.
But that's not what I write about.
No.
Because that's not what I talk about either.
No.
That's not what I fantasize about.
No.
I fantasize about you. And you are very, very real.
Me?
Oh, yeah. Brown chicken, brown cow, baby.
Wow.
I know. Okay, so we should probably do a show now. Now that I've kind of turned myself on, and I'd really rather just see you naked. I got to see him naked earlier today, though.
Yeah, you did.
Ooh, we're going off on tangents way too early in the show. And there are new people who are thinking, who the fuck are these crazy people?
Crazy, yes.
Welcome to the show. This is what we do. So just a little bit of bonus material that's not really bonus material because I'm telling you up front. I have a massive headache and I've been caffeinating all day. So I do not know what's going to happen with this show. And if anybody sort of listens in order and you were like, for the past 2 weeks, you were like, what the fuck happened to their sound? Were they recording in a tunnel? No, we were playing with file sizes and we went a little too far. So we're back up, we think, back up to good quality.
We're bouncing back.
Yeah, like a rubber ball. Quality is extremely important to us, sound quality. Right. We want you to not be annoyed when you listen to us. So if you were annoyed the past couple of weeks, we really apologize. We should be back to where we were. So yeah, there's that. Okay, yep. We're going to do a show now.
Yes, let's do a show.
And we're going to talk about a thing that got the world not mad at us at all, but really generated a shit ton of discussion.
Yes.
People have opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them are like, I don't like this at all.
Right.
And what is that people don't like?
Topping from the bottom.
So I have to ask before we start, we will talk about what that is and what that means and all that. But I was thinking about this last night when I couldn't sleep, you know, as I do. Because I couldn't, but that could be because I am in denial. Have I, from your perspective, ever topped from the bottom?
You know, actually, I've been thinking about that since this topic came up. And In all the time that we've been together since we instituted our DS, I don't think you have.
Yay! I like that.
I don't believe you have. I know one of the things that I had told you in the beginning is that you can talk to me about any thought, feeling, or concern or need that you have as long as it is done in a respectful manner.
Right, in the way that fits our dynamic.
Right. And you have adhered to that.
Well, because it was, I remember that, and I remember being grateful for it, but I am type A. I truly am a little OCD. I don't use that term lightly. And I have always been a people pleaser. Now, unless I don't like you, then I don't give a shit what you think. But
well,
if I like
you, like me.
Right? I know, you should be. If I like you / love you, I care very deeply what you think.
Right.
And so, in order to be the good girl, which I did not understand that that's what I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. I just knew I wanted to make the people I cared about happy.
Right.
In order to be the good girl, I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean? And by saying, this is what I expect you to do, you can do it. Now, you put it in the, you are allowed to do this. But in my head, I then interpreted that as you are expected to. And so I was like, okay. And I have taken that request to tell you everything and anything. And I have run with it. I'm pretty sure there are times you wish I'd stop talking.
Sometimes.
Yes. So, for anybody who's
now,
like...
Now, there have been one or two times that you have stepped out of line.
Oh, sure, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but no. From the perspective of actually topping from the bottom, and for anybody who's like, okay, I've heard that, but what?
Yeah.
It just, we say, it's funny, we say topping from the bottom, and yet top, bottom, dom, sub are not exactly the same thing.
True.
But topping from the bottom generally means that the submissive or the bottom is attempting to control the relationship, the scene, the situation.
The power dynamic.
They're trying to, the power exchange. They're flipping the power dynamic.
Right.
So that they are in control. And it is not usually, sometimes it can be really obvious, and sometimes it's more subtle. Mm-hmm. And it's, there is some controversy, as we discovered, because I wrote a post with Daddy's Help that was like, okay, what are the things, here are six things that are not topping from the bottom that get called topping from the bottom. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But in even starting the conversation, a lot of people said, very frankly, I don't even like that term. And the reason that they said, and I agree, is that that term gets used on typically submissives who are simply trying to communicate their needs.
Correct.
Which is not topping from the bottom.
Right.
So can we think of, since I've never done it and I am wonderful, right? if I had long golden locks, I would be, you know, getting them out of my face right now. I'd look really Farrah Fawcett-y. Oh, I'm showing my age. Somebody out there is like, Farrah who? Anyway.
And I just had a flashback to the poster on my wall.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't mind being your pinup. I'm good with that. Oh, gosh. We apparently need to fuck because we're flirting way too much. So can we give some examples of what might be topping from the bottom? Now, here's what I would like to add a caveat to that. Topping from the bottom is not necessarily the really awful, negative, manipulative thing that it is portrayed to be. I contend and believe that most of the time, it is a way of saying something's not right without actually either being able to or realizing something's not right. Well, does that make sense?
Yes and no. All right. It does make a little bit of sense.
Oh, good. I made a little bit of sense today.
A little bit of sense, yeah. Topping from the bottom is really when a sub tries to grasp control.
But there's different types of control. So it's not always physical control. Sometimes it's the emotional control.
Oh, yeah. It can be anything from controlling punishment. Okay. You know, a dom tries to set a rule or protocol. And like, you know, again, to me at least, it's all in how they approach it. You know, if I were to say to you, well, every morning when we get up, I want you to kneel and kiss my feet.
Okay.
All right.
I'm sorry, that wasn't met with a lot of enthusiasm.
No, no, I'm just using it as an example.
Sorry.
Now, sub goes, oh no, I'm not going to do that. This is how I'm going to do it.
That would definitely be topping from the bottom. Or there's a passive aggressive way of doing it too.
Okay.
Where, and I might have used that term incorrectly, I always get passive aggressive wrong, but here's what I'm thinking in my head. You set the rule.
Right.
I, as a submissive, say, okay. And then every single day, there's some reason why I can't. There's some snarky attitude about it. I move really slow. I take my sweet time. I don't do it quite right. Whatever I need to do to, one would think that that might be a reason I'm looking for punishment, but maybe not. It could be that I'm trying to make it so that you just go, oh, fuck this. We won't do this rule anymore. That could be, that's just one teeny tiny example.
Right. But I mean, there could be several different things at play in there.
Exactly. And that's, I think, my point is that topping from the bottom is not, it's a symptom of something more than it is a problem by itself. It is the result of another overlying issue that's not being dealt with or is not being thought about.
Right. Now, you know, to me, again, as a dominant, the way I grew in this lifestyle, the way I learned from the people that I learned from, you know, you just don't say, okay, this is the rule and you're going to follow it and no questions asked.
Right.
Okay.
That'd be really cute if you tried that, Daddy.
Now that's a good example.
I think I might have had too much caffeine today.
I think so too. Even for you. Wow.
But let's be realistic. If that's how you had approached me, with the little bit of experience I had when we met,
I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what I meant by that.
you know, when you implement a rule, let's face it, you are working around real life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you have to set realistic goals and realistic expectations of whatever rules or protocols you put into place.
Absolutely.
So it's not just about saying, you will do X when I say Y, and that is all there is to it. You know, you need to sit down and discuss the parameters of the rule or protocol, so that way, one, everyone is in the know of what truly is expected, when is expected.
Right.
That, at that point, is basically the negotiation part of said rule. So that way, if the sub does have any questions, that is the time they can ask.
And the thing is, and I think, because I can hear, I've been getting more messages from dominants, so I can feel like I can hear new dominants in my head more than just the new submissives.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool, and also really loud in there. So I can hear a new dominant saying, but what if I didn't know? What if I did this already? So this is what I'm imagining.
Mm-hmm.
You knew enough to sit and talk about the rule, but neither of you has quite enough experience yet, because you don't gain the experience until you go out there and do it. It's not a knock against you. It's just mm-hmm. how it works. You didn't have enough experience quite yet to be able to anticipate. So
okay.
You know, when you and I discuss rules, right?
Right.
I now don't live in DS fantasy land anymore. I know real life will totally get in the fucking way, right?
Yeah.
So when you say, from here on out, I want you to kneel in the morning and kiss my feet, one of my initial questions in the conversation before I ever say yes, daddy,
mm-hmm.
is, okay, so what if this happens? What do you want me to do? What
right.
if I oversleep? What if I don't feel good? And some things we have established. If I don't feel good, all I have to do is go, daddy, I really don't feel good.
Right.
Because I'm trustworthy with that. You know,
yeah.
I'm not bullshitting you.
If you say you're not feeling well.
Right.
It's
I usually don't say it. I usually like fall down somewhere and you go,
right.
I don't think you're feeling well. Or, you know, if schedules don't match up, or if there's something, you know, in the very, very beginning, I did not know enough to ask. And even you did not know enough to necessarily anticipate. We hadn't done it
mm-hmm.
together yet. So the first rule or two you make, you might not anticipate those issues. You might have to deal with them on the fly.
True.
Which, so for the new people out there who have already gone through this and are like, fuck, I didn't think to do that. Don't panic.
Yeah. See, there comes into play the difference of the S type coming, we really need to talk about this. This isn't working. You know, we're done with it.
Right.
Okay. As opposed to saying, you know, sir, daddy,
ma'am,
mistress. Or you know, whatever the term for the relationship you have, may we please discuss this?
Sure. And
in a respectful,
or not even, we need to discuss this. There's this thing you want me to do, and in this moment, I physically cannot do
right.
it. Instead of saying, it's not fucking happening, I don't give a shit, which might be what you think in your head, and what you think in your head does not always need to be what comes out of your mouth.
Right.
Instead, it is about the tone, and it's about the protocol and the dynamic you have. So in our relationship,
mm-hmm.
when I have a task, or I have a rule, or I have a something I'm supposed to do, when I cannot do it, you better damn well rest assured, I am really polite when I have to say, daddy, I don't think I can get this done. What are we going to do about this? Actually, I'm in panic mode by the time I figure out I can't
well,
do something.
Well, for you, yes. That's where you...
that's where I go.
That's
I know.
Where you tend to fall down that rabbit hole.
I am so much fun. and some people, it's... Some of it, I know there are people out there, especially subs, who are thinking, but this is just how I always react to stuff. Well, I get that. Now it's time to retrain the brain.
The brain, yes.
And it is about the relationship you're building with this other person. And if this other person has said, you will speak to me with respect about anything you want to talk about. We will talk about anything you want to talk about, but you're going to be respectful.
Right.
I think what happens, this is just one facet of topping from the bottom, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When it's not actually topping from the bottom. I think when... Depending on your personality, depending on your experience, depending on things that have happened to you in the past, from a submissive perspective, if you go on the defense when you have to break bad news or say, or think you're going to disappoint your partner, your dominant,
mm-hmm.
it can come out of your mouth not the way you really mean it. It's a defense mechanism.
Yeah.
It's a, you're going to be mad at me, so I am going to go ahead and be mad first. Or
right.
I'm already going to get in trouble, so it doesn't matter what I say. And so then it is perceived as topping from the bottom.
Well, that
when
was,
it's, again, something else.
Let's see, that just brought something to memory for me.
Oh, gosh, did I top from the bottom?
We were in Starbucks one night. We were discussing we were having a business meeting in regards to my wood turning. Mm-hmm. And there were a number of things I wanted to talk about. No, no, it wasn't that. It was you. It was your websites and things you wanted to do.
Oh, I do remember.
And you had a lot of stuff that you wanted to talk about. We were there for a good hour talking about stuff.
I think longer.
Maybe even longer. And I finally said, we need to stop here. I have more than enough at this point that I need to think about. And I know there's more you need to discuss, but we need to stop so I can digest what you have already told me. And you went from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds.
Yeah, it was a complete turnaround of personality.
Yes, it was.
And there was nothing good or kind or positive about it, or
and
respectful.
We were sitting in the middle of Starbucks, and I had to stop and say, did you forget who you are talking to? You are speaking to Daddy.
I know. And I would still contend that I was not intentionally, it might have been what the result was, but I was not intentionally topping from the bottom. And I think that topping from the bottom is thought to be an intentional act. And I think when it is an intentional act, that's one thing. And then sometimes, and this is the conversation we ended up having later, Kayla Lords with her business hat on is a completely different woman.
She's forced to be reckoned with. I'll give you that, yes.
Than baby girl and submissive.
Right.
And even mom and even, you know, fiance and all the
because
other roles
in that,
I have.
When you're in that aspect, you're in business person mode.
Yeah, and okay? I am very much in charge and in control.
And because you know what you want. You know where you want to bring your...
If I recall that moment... correctly, and I can't leave. I think it's because I don't perceive that as topping from the bottom because it was not my intention. I do remember standing by the car in the parking lot of Starbucks, tears rolling down my face for two reasons. One, absolute shame, just feeling so awful. And yet, simultaneously, so pissed off, so frustrated, because I had not made the quick shift.
Right.
From one thing to the other,
and, see,
and
you,
it was an
you
internal
took,
fight.
You took my comment to mean that we were done talking, period.
Yes.
When what I was trying to tell you, we will continue this at a later time,
but
I need to digest what has been already laid out.
Impatient baby girl / impatient businesswoman, aren't I fun? Still probably would have had a very similar reaction because I wanted it settled right then. Now, never mind, I came to you with massive projects.
Right.
2 years later, we are still working on.
Thank you.
Okay. But I wanted an answer over our lattes that night. Thank you very much.
I don't think there were any lattes big enough for that.
But that brings me to about a million points on topping from the bottom because... topping from the bottom is about intention, and it is about perception, and it is about whatever it is really about. So think about it. In that moment, when you're looking back, you go, oh, yeah, I would call that topping from the bottom. And from my perspective, I would say, no, there was this underlying reason, and I had a bad reaction, and I was disrespectful, and, oh, I don't disagree with you there.
Mm-hmm.
But I was not intentionally trying to take control. I was frustrated and impatient and nervous and... the hardest thing that I think it's more of a submissive problem than a dominant problem is the shift. The way we have to shift because who I am in one role outside of the kink world is not necessarily the same person I am in our relationship and our power exchange dynamic.
True.
And so there is an adjustment for both sides with that kind of stuff. This is where... long story short about topping from the bottom, it is always solved through communication.
Right.
Regardless of the reason it is happening or if it is even really topping from the bottom, it is all solved through communication. If it's actual topping from the bottom because you're not quite ready yet to give up control or you don't quite trust your partner or what you really want and you can't quite explain it yet is you actually do want the control yanked from you. There are submissives out there who are like, oh, you can only control me if you can take it.
Right.
So they come across in a very different way. But whatever the reason for the perception of topping from the bottom, it all comes... the only way it's ever addressed and dealt with is through communication.
Yeah.
So even when it is not topping from the bottom, though, the answer is communication. Like the article I did this week on what isn't having a safe word, using a safe word, talking about your limits, renegotiating what you want, expressing your emotions and your thoughts and all that. All of those things, those are at their minimum communication.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes what happens is because the other partner, good, bad, or indifferent, doesn't like what the submissive is telling them, then it is called topping from the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole topic is very complicated.
It is.
The simple but not at all simple fix is communication. Because if I do something and you perceive it as topping from the bottom, we have to talk about it. But you have to be, and I'm using you as the one who's right here and I can touch, but this goes for any dominant. You have to be willing to hear me out for me to say, in my opinion, this is not topping from the bottom. Let me explain to you what I was thinking, what I was feeling, why I said what I said. Now, me explaining that and having you understand me better does not mean there might not be consequences for my behavior. If I went against a rule, if I was disrespectful, whatever it might be. At the same time, if you hear something you don't like, I wasn't rude. I didn't break a rule. I didn't go against protocol. You just heard something out of my mouth that you didn't like. If you call that topping from the bottom, then we have a separate issue that we now have to talk about.
True.
And that's a growth moment. A moment of growth for you.
Right.
And I think sometimes that's the hardest part. Really good dominance, and I'm hearing from so many new dominants who are so sweet and earnest about how they want to get this right. I love you all. Thank you for emailing me. I feel like they are the ones who are the most teachable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what I'm, well, I guess what I'm saying is from a submissive perspective. So you have accused the... pure conjecture. You have accused me of topping from the bottom. It is not topping from the bottom. It is a legitimate issue we need to talk about, right?
Well,
here, I have a scenario I'm trying to play out. Okay, thank you. So, you have accused me of topping from the bottom. I say, this is not topping from the bottom. Let me explain what this is. This is the, right? I'm educated as a submissive enough to know that telling you I need a safe word is not a freaking...
No.
It's not topping from the bottom. If you cannot... or prove that you are not willing to adapt your thinking, look at it from a different viewpoint, the conversation is not pointless, because some submissives are going to go, well, it's pointless. They won't change their mind. Oh, no, it's not pointless. As a submissive, I now have more information. And I can make the decision to say, oh, maybe we shouldn't be together.
Right. Now, see, here's what I'm going to say to that. If you were a more experienced submissive and I was somebody who just came onto the scene and did not know anything, as a dominant, you have just as much to learn as any submissive. Okay?
Maybe more.
Maybe more. I saw a tweet the other day from Dom Signs about how much he's learned from Molly. It goes both ways.
Absolutely.
Okay? Both have to be open to learning and growing. I don't want this to be taken the wrong way by anybody for any reason, but especially if you are coming from a vanilla relationship, vanilla relationships, and not all of them, can and do become stagnant.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? When you are moving into a BDSM relationship, it is about growth. Does
as
it ever...
should the vanilla relationship
well,
have been.
as that should be too. Does it ever stop? My belief, there's always something to learn.
About each other, about yourself.
About each other, about yourself, about the kinks you're interested in. And both of you have to learn that in order to move into that arena, in order to get the most out of what you want. You have to be willing to learn and grow.
And the point, to bring that back to topping from the bottom, is especially if you're, I say especially if you're a new dominant, but not necessarily. If you're a dominant, new or not, who thinks you are always right no matter what, guess what? Your submissive has to have a way to say to you, I don't like this, I'm unhappy, something has to change, I think this was incorrect. And you as the dominant have to be able to separate hearing something you really don't want to hear from the way it is presented. The way it is presented to you could be perceived as topping from the bottom. If they get really rude and snippy and go against all your rules and protocol, that's a problem you got to deal with. But,
what if the submissive were to say to you, you know, you don't know how to use a flogger. You can't flog me if, you know.
This.
And then the other side of that coin you know, sir, they offer a wonderful flogging class at the club.
That's my whole point. It is not always what you say. It is how you say it. And so my point is, as a dominant, you have to have two skills. You have to have a lot of skills. You have to have so many fucking skills. I'm kind of glad I'm the submissive. You have to have enough. What you can't have is too much ego, because sometimes your submissive still has to learn how to speak properly. They have to learn the respect. Maybe they've never been in a situation where how they say something to you actually matters, and there are consequences for it. So, new relationship, existing relationship, you're new to kink, you're not, I don't care. The first thing that has to be done is and it is hard, and it is a learned skill, and it takes a lot of time, and you will get it wrong on both ends all the time. You have to separate what is being expressed from how it is being expressed.
Right.
So, in a perfect world, yes, if you were missing my ass with the flogger more than you were hitting my ass with the flogger, the best thing, one of the ways to do it, would be to say, maybe we should practice more. Do you want me to stand here and you just practice? Nothing kinky, just get some practice in. Or, oh, look, Daddy, I found this class. Your skills have gotten a little rusty. And first of all, you have to have enough humility as a dom to be able to go, yeah, that's right, I have. You know, don't fucking pretend that you can do something that you clearly cannot.
Right.
And that would be the proper way. But if I am a new submissive, if I'm a scared submissive, if I have communication issues still that I'm still figuring out, if I have trust issues I'm still dealing with, it is very possible that you have accidentally hit me wrong enough times that what comes out of my mouth is not gentle and sweet. Okay? And it is not foolproof. You will not always be able to separate the two, because sometimes it hurts on a personal level.
Right.
And sometimes you will try to separate the two and you will still realize that your submissive was totally topping from the bottom, and maybe they're kind of an asshole. Maybe they're the wrong submissive for you. I don't know. Maybe this is not a good pairing. Because sometimes we get really, really shitty with people that are just, it's a bad energy vibe. It's a bad coupling.
Yeah.
The two just don't really fit, and we're trying really hard to make it fit.
Trying to fit a
square peg in a round hole. Exactly. So topping from the bottom is so many things, and it is so hard to sort of delineate what it is and what it isn't, because it all depends on the two people involved. It all depends on this exact situation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there have been times, because you allow me to be a little snarky with you when done in love and good humor, that if somebody listening to us heard me speak to you a certain way,
they would think you're being disrespectful.
Exactly.
Okay. Now here's the thing. At where do that brings up a good point. Where in topping from the bottom does a full on brat or Sammy fall in?
Here, I have an answer. I thought about this last night.
Okay.
So we're recording on Thursday, and I talked to one of our listeners on Wednesday night through Twitter, which was kind of cool. And she said, okay, here's my scenario. Here's what happens. I feel like I topped from the bottom, but my dominant said he could have stopped me at any time and he didn't. I said, that's the key. I said, topping from the bottom generally, I mean, I'm sure there's some exceptions, but generally is a situation where the dominant goes, what the fuck just happened here? This was out of my control. Control was taken away from me and I didn't want that. So I have very strong feelings about being perceived as a brat. I've had to learn.
Yes, you do.
I've had to learn how to separate those feelings out from seeing other people who call themselves a brat and the dynamics they have with their partner.
Right.
And here is how I have done that. To me, for me as a baby girl, being a brat is a negative thing. Okay? And if I'm a brat to you and I am being way too cheeky, trying to piss you off, trying to make you do something else other than what you want to do, which is essentially topping from the bottom, right? And that happens between us because of our dynamic. That's topping from the bottom and it's bad. And whatever you do to me as a brat.
Right.
That's why I fight the brat label so much.
I tease you with it a lot.
I know. Because to me, it's a very intentional thing.
Right.
But in the dynamics out there where the submissive is a true bona fide brat.
Mm-hmm.
And the partner goes, I fucking love this.
And yes, there are some who love that and
then
bring it on, baby.
It is part of their personal dynamic. They are consenting to this, however it plays out between them. It might be completely antithetical to what I would do as a submissive. Who cares? That's their dynamic. So the when you look at somebody being a brat or a Sammy, by the way, is a smart ass masochist. That's the person who's clearly cruising for a bruising.
Right.
you know, that person who goes, what, that's as hard as you can hit, which I've totally said before. Just putting that out there.
Yeah.
And then he showed me how hard he could fucking hit. The Sammy would go, yeah, me. I'm going, no, I didn't mean it. It is about intention, and it is about how the dominant feels. And we don't talk a lot about how a dominant feels in a situation. And I think that's wrong. I think we should talk a little bit more about it. And in topping from the bottom, while it is about what is the intention of the submissive, it is also about how does this make the dominant feel? And if the dominant feels at any point, even in retrospective, like they walk away from the situation, they go, there was something not right about that, but I don't know what.
Yeah.
And then a day or two later or however long, they go, what? And they figure it out. It's still topping from the bottom. If they felt like the control was taken away from them outside of their dynamic, outside of what had been previously agreed to, and they felt like they didn't control the situation anymore and they did not like it. There's the other part. If you lost control of the situation, but you're like, ugh, fucking turn me on. Well, dude, go for it. I say, dude.
Yeah.
Whoever.
Ma'am, whatever.
That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. It's the not liking it part. It's the feeling like everything is out of control and you don't have a handle on what's happening and that this ship you're trying to steer is going off track somehow.
Right.
You know? And it all... Every bit of it. It doesn't get solved. It doesn't get dealt with. You don't figure out if this is the right relationship for you until... We talk about it.
True.
Now, I think one of the big questions and conversations that came out of just talking about it online this week before we recorded the show was about why people do these things. You know, what is it is intention based, but why would people do it? And I've spent a lot of time thinking about it, and I think some of it is there. I think there's a lot of reasons.
Well, sure, there.
I think there's no one right reason.
Attention.
It could be fear.
Right.
It could be, we said it earlier, maybe you're still learning how to speak respectfully to another adult who's really your equal, but you've got this power exchange thing going on.
Or as much as you are submissive, you have that fear of giving up control.
Right, and it is scary at first.
Right.
Maybe you haven't fully developed trust.
In that way, you try to hold on to that control as much as you can.
And then there's the trust factor. Even in... the best relationships, when we were still really new to each other, I still had the trust issues. So the way we handled that is we just moved really, really, really
very,
slow.
Very slowly.
Oh my God, like a turtle. I'm so sorry.
That's all right. You know, the turtle won the race.
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
And I get it, especially if you've been married and you're like, well, I've known this person 20 years. Or you met knowing you're both kinky. You're like, we both know it. It's fine. And you jump in because it's exciting and fun. That doesn't necessarily mean you've got enough trust yet to really jump in. It really, for most people, it should be kind of an easing into things. Mm-hmm. And until the submissive, for some submissives, until that submissive feels just rock solid trust in you, that they don't question anything you're doing in a safe, healthy way. I'm not talking about the subs going through sub frenzy. that's a whole, we've already done that show. That's a whole different case. It is possible that, they might be perceived as topping from the bottom. Now, let me separate the trust thing out from the what I mentioned in the article I wrote, and I'll link to it in the show notes. Wanting and needing a safe word, that can be about trust, but that is not topping from the bottom. That is being safe. What I'm talking about is you've got the consent to do this thing to your submissive, and you are in the middle of doing it, or you are about to do it, and they begin to resist and attempt to control the situation, whether it's how they move or hold themselves or what they do or if they listen to you. So that you as the dominant don't have control of that anymore. It was like, there's this agreed upon thing we were going to do. And now you, submissive, are doing everything in your power to make this a different scenario. You know, that's the kind of trust thing I'm talking about. They're not using a safe word. They're not demanding a safe word. They're just saying, they're not allowing themselves or you to go through whatever the scene is that's been set. Now, tell me if I'm wrong, Daddy, because I know you will. If a dominant sees that happening, shouldn't everything kind of stop?
Yes.
And you'd be like, what the hell's going on?
Right.
Have I done that before?
I don't think so.
Maybe not in the beginning. But it was so hard for me to let you do anything at first.
It was. I think what made it easier for us in that aspect that it did not happen to that extent was that any time we thought about trying something new, I gave you the task of researching it.
Very true.
Okay.
Very true.
And looking into it, and we discussed it in detail.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Does that make us really boring kinksters or really smart kinksters?
I'd like to think it makes us educated, because one of the reasons I said that is because if there ever came a time that you played with somebody else, that you had another person top you, you need to know.
Absolutely.
Okay. What is what? Even though you are submissive, you need to be educated in what is what and how somebody,
how it should work,
how it should work, because you could have great harm come to you with some of these things that we do.
And absolutely. And I think on the other side, this reminds me of talking about how you had me go out and research and I brought the information back. I once answered a question from a submissive who said that their dominant said that it was the submissive's responsibility to learn whatever about BDSM that the dominant wasn't teaching them, and that they should then tell the dominant everything. And the way it was presented, I went, oh no, that's not a dominant act. That's like, you should be worried. But the difference between that scenario and this one is that I brought the information back and then we discussed it
right.
a lot. And some of it was stuff you already knew and some of it was stuff right. you didn't
Correct.
Know. And I was teaching you,
mm-hmm.
which
sounds... We were teaching each other.
We were teaching each other, but me bringing the information back to you and going, hey, Daddy, here's what you need to know about this too.
Right.
Sounds a little bit like being in control and topping, but it was actually a service.
I asked you to perform a task.
And I did it.
Yes, you did.
And then I, you know, put my school teacher glasses and, you know, did my hair up like I'm a librarian and pretended
yeah.
I wasn't a sexy librarian. Which is, I pretend to not be a sexy librarian every moment of every day. That's a whole different story. And I think... I cracked myself up. I'm sorry, y'all. I worry for new people. So let's talk about, this is the one that you and I were discussing earlier today before we started recording
mm-hmm.
that I don't think people think about, but it hit me. So either I'm nuts, which is possible, or I thought, like a light bulb moment. Okay?
Hit you on the ass or in the face?
Oh, please only on the ass. So we talked about people who are genuinely topping from the bottom.
Right.
They are trying to wrest control away. And
mm-hmm.
this is in... like impact play or sensation play or just a power exchange. No, I'm not going to. You can't make me, blah, 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 right?
Right.
Because it's not all about pain. A lot of it can just be verbal in the interaction you have.
Sure.
And, you know, we were talking about how, okay, when that's happening, that means there's a conversation that needs to happen. It's lack of trust. It's fear of something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is the just genuine fear of actually giving up that control because you don't.
Correct.
You don't have control anymore. You
right.
have to depend on the other person. But the thing we mentioned, and that I don't think gets a lot of mention, is that some people, that's what they like. They don't want to hand over the control. They want it ripped away.
They want it taken.
And they want to fight. And here's where the confusion part comes in. If you as the dominant partner don't have, if both of you aren't realizing that this is the turn on, and this is what that submissive wants, and that's their way of
mm-hmm.
doing submission, it can get really confusing.
Yeah. But there are some people who like that kind of
who
dynamic.
Love it.
That is a very real dynamic. But they also understand that that is their dynamic.
Well, and I would imagine what probably happens to some people, not all the people who play this way, is that they realize that's what they want, but they think there's something wrong with it because
mm-hmm.
it's not something we talk about very often.
Right.
And so the submissive's confused. The dominant might be confused. Every once in a while, you get really fortunate and you're both right on the same wavelength and you go, yeah, that was fucking hot. Let's
right.
do that again. You and I play like that sometimes when we're feeling primal. For us, it's
yes.
a very primal thing. And in primal dynamics and relationships, that's very common. You're fighting for dominance. And
it's like hunter and prey.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I was doing some research on primal packs for an article I did with fetish.com, some people, the way when they identify as primal, which is not necessarily the same as dominant or submissive at all for
mm-hmm.
them, they're actually both fighting as equals and the stronger one will win.
The alpha.
The alpha, right. And so that was really hot.
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And I get why all those paranormal erotic things are so hot because it's
mm-hmm.
like, oh yeah, give me some alphas fighting, and this is really sexy. But for us, it's a very rare thing, and it's only when we hit a certain mood. But for some people, that is, I've read accounts of submissives online who are like, you can have the control when you take it. And if you are on the outside looking in, or if you don't know that that's a legitimate way to be,
right,
you're going to think, oh my God, that's topping from the bottom. No. As long as the dominant is in on the game.
Yeah, well, yes, yes, absolutely.
Mean, that's what matters.
But that's part of their power exchange.
And I would say, for anybody who's new out there, if you are discovering that you're submissive, this is how they want to give up control, and you're confused by it, that could be exactly, this is how they submit.
Right.
And so as a dominant, you have to decide, okay, am I comfortable with dominating in this way? And it is, as long as there's consent and safety and there's a way to stop things when they go too far, it's legitimate. Go for it. As long as both of you are on the same page.
Just like you and I, you brought up the fact earlier about how you can be sassy.
Shock. I know. The whole audience just gasped as one.
Now, we talked about that early on. Mm-hmm. I actually like her sassy. All right. To me, you know, there are serious aspects of RDS. Okay. This, you know, this is what it is, and that's how it is. I enjoy the fun and the lightness and the humor that your sassiness brings in. But I also told her very on, there is a line.
I cross that line all the time, y'all.
She has crossed that line. I probably don't have enough fingers and toes anymore.
No, we lost count a long time ago.
Yeah, we lost count a long time ago.
It is always unintentional, though.
Yeah.
Every bit of it.
And I think a lot of it, you get carried away.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, oh, this is hilarious. Let me say it.
Because you once, just like when you're talking here, you get on a roll and you just go with it.
Oh, yeah. Right down that rabbit
hole.
And
it's the same thing with her sassiness. And yeah, there are times, you know, I got to put my foot down. Not as bad as the night at Starbucks.
Oh, my gosh. I try not to repeat things.
Yeah.
For sure.
I like that set. Same way there are big D types that like brats. I like that sassiness. It gives, as far as I'm concerned, it gives life to the relationship.
Sure.
To the dynamic.
Well, and I think part of it, if we're being honest, I was sassy long before I knew I was submissive. I just thought I was a smartass. I mean, that's the term you use, you know. And outside of, you know, in the vanilla world, when my sass comes out, I'm being a smartass. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very sarcastic. My dad always called himself the king of the one-liners. Well, guess who was princess of the one-liners? I can't tell a joke to save my soul, y'all. I will fuck it up. But if I see something and it strikes me just right, something will come out of my mouth I could never repeat. I don't know where it came from. And it will just, if it makes this man right here laugh his ass off, I'm on it. I will ride that horse until it is dead in the ground. And what happens is that's when I cross the line.
Yes.
And I go from being sassy to, we have an in-between word between sassy and bratty, because I really don't like bratty.
Brassy.
Brassy. I will accept brassy over brat. And again, that is nothing against the brats of the world. For me, being a brat is about intentional behavior that I am actually actively trying to avoid. I don't want that intentional behavior. So for me, brat is not a fun, good thing at all. So yeah, there are times he'll say, you're being a brat. I'm like, mm-mm, I'm being brassy. If I am anything, totally brassy. So yes, there are, and that goes back to what I had said earlier, that there are things that outsiders looking in might perceive, oh, look at her over there topping from the bottom, being such a fucking brat. But in our dynamic, we're like, we're having a good fucking time.
Right.
And that's, if you ever have to wonder if what is happening in your own dynamic, do not worry about what other people are doing in their dynamic unless it is unsafe or abusive or dangerous. Then worry, okay? But if it is not any of those things and it's just not how you like to play, don't freaking worry about what other people are doing. Look at your own relationship and you kind of do a check and go, okay, am I behaving this way because I'm upset about something, because I'm scared, because I'm afraid to tell my dominant a thing, so I'm just gonna pretend it's not a thing, but ooh, look at me still acting out. Am I not liking this, but I feel like I have to do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever. And dominance, if you wonder, is my submissive, topping from the bottom. I think the big question is, do you feel like you didn't have control of the situation? Like, you couldn't get control if you wanted.
Right.
Could you have stopped it with a word? Well, then you still have control. Can you stop it with a look? You still have control.
Correct.
The difference is, are you exercising the control?
Yes.
Now, if either of you are in this, oh God, topping from the bottom, what the fuck's going on? I'm confused. Stop. Everything stops and you have a fucking conversation. Because there's something underlying that moment that has to be resolved. You won't necessarily resolve it in the first conversation. And it is possible. I'm not all about the fairy tales and happy endings and everything is always perfect. Sometimes what you find is you're not a good fit.
Yeah.
But I mean, hopefully that's not the case. Hopefully it is just a, ooh, we need to talk about this more and look at it in a different way.
It's an oops moment that needs to be talked about, and you come to a resolution and you move forward.
Right. And if the same behavior continues to repeat itself over and over and over again, no matter how many times you talk about it and how many ways you decide that you can compromise and you can shift and you can change and, oh, let's try this new thing, which trying new things is usually the best way to deal with most stuff in DS. If you keep going through this same pattern, well, now it's time for the really hard conversation.
Yeah.
What the fuck are we doing here? You know? Because this is, it's funny, a kinkster I met at Eroticon in March, whom I love and daddy's gonna meet, she's an author and she's just awesome and she's been in the lifestyle like 20 or 30 years. And she and I were standing around at an after party thing. We're talking and she said it and now I'm seeing it everywhere and I'm starting to say it. We were talking about how a lot of the stress is placed on safety and aftercare and our feelings. And those things are important. Please don't think I'm saying mm-hmm. that they're not. Y'all have an entire 90 episode show devoted to it, right? But she said, isn't this supposed to be fun? I remember when BDSM was just fun. And I'm like, well, it is supposed to be fun. And so I've started saying it more often. And some people I know online have just started saying it. And that's what I think in DS gets forgotten. These can be, if this is what you want, very serious relationships where you are trying mm-hmm. to forge a life together in this power exchange with the dynamic that works for you and your partner, okay? But at the core of it, it is supposed to be enjoyable, fun, a turn on, mm-hmm. whatever gets you off, whatever satisfies you. Like, pick a thing. It's supposed to be pleasant and enjoyable. And if your every interaction with your partner is either that you are topping from the bottom because there's some issue that needs to be dealt with, or as the dominant, you think you're being topped from the bottom, and every interaction is like hard work and misery.
Headbanging.
Right. You got to remember this was supposed to be fun.
Right.
This is supposed to be enjoyable. You're both supposed to get something good.
Out of it.
So that by itself could be its own topic. That's not just about topping from the bottom. That is about every issue that comes through. And maybe I need to add that to the list too.
Yeah, maybe.
But when it comes to topping from the bottom or your perception that there something is, you know, somebody is topping mm-hmm. from the bottom, very rarely, I think, is it somebody truly trying to take control of the situation. I think that there's a need not being met, or there's a fear that's not being mm-hmm. expressed, or there's a misunderstanding between two people about what the situation actually is.
I mean, unless you have a DS relationship that's based on high protocol, master and slave.
Micromanaged.
Where someone is micromanaged. And there are those who want that. That is what they want out of their dynamic. And that's fine. That fulfills their needs.
Right. And that's, again, this point. This is supposed to be something we want and enjoy on some level.
Mm-hmm. Let's face it. It should be fun, too. Right. You know, there has to be some element of fun. I mean, you know, as much as I have practiced with a flogger, there are times I just really miss the mark.
Yes, you do.
And, you know.
And we just giggle, because what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? You know, you have fun with it, you joke, and you move on.
Well, and I got into a conversation with, she goes by Sub B on Twitter. I've met her at Eroticon too. Oh, okay. And I got to see
I've talked with her a few times.
A fresh brand that she got at one of the sessions. Which was really cool. And she let me take a picture of it. And yay. So we talk online sometimes. And she was responding to the article I did. Like I said, I will link in the show notes. I think it's important if you are convinced either you or your partner is topping from the bottom, I would like you to read this article first to make sure that what they are doing is definitely not topping from the bottom. But she read it and we got to talking about, you know, different aspects of topping from the bottom. And she said, hell, we'll talk our whole way through a scene. If something works or doesn't work, or I'm happy, or, you know, she said, and usually we end up laughing and chatting through the whole thing. I'm like, we do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, we don't take it for us. Okay. Mm-hmm. Again, this is our dynamic. We do not take it so seriously that I am not allowed to ever utter a single word in the middle. If he's flogging me, which is one of the things we love to do, and he misses the mark, I'm not going to laugh at him. That's not cool. For me, that's not a nice thing.
Right.
But if he goes, oh, fuck. Well, now, okay, now he's opened the door. I might go, yeah, I noticed. I
mean, she's just not out of the blue going to say he could, you know, you couldn't flog your way out of a paper bag.
Right, because next thing I know, I would be the paper bag and he would be flogging me to, you know, until I safe word it or something, I'm sure. But we, you know, here's another example. Okay, so I get Brazilian waxes. For people who do not understand what that is, my pussy is hair free, all the hair is ripped out by the root, at the roots, with hot wax, and I love it and I do it, and we have no money, but you know what, that's in the budget. We make sacrifices for that. And so
the better to eat you with, my dear,
which is exactly what he did. I got it done on Wednesday. Today's Thursday, we're recording on Thursday, so Wednesday. Okay, so normally the past few months we've been so busy that on day one of freshly waxed pussy, it has been kind of ignored, and I've kind of bitched about it. But now he's home. And so next thing I know, we're in the bedroom. He's eating me out, and I'm, like, trying not to scream because there's a seven-year-old in the house. Door's locked. Couldn't have seen anything. So, you know, not screaming was a good idea. And so we get into the, ooh, let's have sex. Well, things aren't working, and we're still not 100% sure what the hell happened.
Yeah.
So we're trying to get in the right position, and we're trying to get here, and we're trying to get there, and nothing is working. And I'm like, why don't you just get the lube? Like, not sexy at all. Just go grab the lube. He goes, yeah, okay, fine. So he's doing stuff, and he's like, what the fuck? And we finally just start giggling. Like, I don't have this expectation that my dominant is supposed to be large and in charge and icy cold all the time, you know?
Right.
Nor does he have this vision of me as this simpering waif waiting to, you know, to be devoured by him. Mm-hmm. Like, we are participants in this together. So it means we're talking through things and we're laughing at the weirdness of sex and gone wrong.
And what did I do? I shifted gears. I grabbed the ceramic dildo and
he fucked me with it.
Fucked you with that while I ate you.
Well, I know. A very good time, quite frankly. I got one blog post out of it and a second one coming. So, you know. Yeah, and we are the people that he's eating me out. And I'm thinking, this is going to make a great blog post. Yeah, that's who I am.
Life with a writer.
Right, well, and a kinky one.
Yeah.
So my point is that in our relationship, if you were on the outside looking in and you thought we were, that we had this very strict power dynamic, you would be walking me, listening to me go, just grab the lube. Just grab the lube. It's fine. Grab the lube. Thinking, oh, what a bitch. She's telling him what to do. She's stopping from the bottom. No, we're fucking interacting. So we both have a good time.
Right.
That's how we roll. If that is how you want to be able to be in your dynamic, and I don't mean exactly like we are, but in a more, a way, the ability to say what you need to say so you both have a good outcome, then that is what you say when you're figuring out your relationship.
Right.
Or when it happens, if the person pushes back, you talk about it and go, but this is who I am.
It's times like that, like yesterday, where it's not so much topping from the bottom. It's being willing to, have a sense of humor.
Yes.
Okay.
God.
And being willing to shift gears mid-stride.
And I think some of that comes down to, and this is one of the things I love about you, and of all the dominants I have met, and I've now met quite a lot, that I really respect and admire and just like as genuine people. Your ego is not the first thing that ever fucking enters a room, okay?
Yeah.
You know who you are. You know who we are.
Right.
And I don't have to be reminded of it. And the whole world doesn't have to be reminded of who you are, right? So if I say to you, just get the lube, your reaction is not to think that I think you have somehow failed in fucking me. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, that's a good idea. I should have thought of that a couple minutes ago. And I think that's part of it. I think sometimes a submissive is doing a weird cry for help that something's not right.
Yeah.
And sometimes, on the flip side, a dominant is accusing a submissive of topping from the bottom
mm-hmm.
because their ego's in the way. And they've got this perception in their mind of what they think a dominant is and how it is supposed to go. And just like submissives can get caught up in the fantasy of what DS is and
right.
kink is, I think some dominants can too.
Sure.
I mean, y'all know we have talked a lot about the shitty dominants out there. I do not hold back for the really shitty ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I also recognize that some are just as new and green at this as the submissives are.
Right. Well, a dominant, you know, just like a submissive, looks at a lot of the stuff on Tumblr.
Oh, my God. And they think okay. they're going to spend their whole day naked and with a
and
collar
not
on.
Naked, collared, and chained. You know, and a dominant can look at that and say, oh, I'm going to find myself a submissive who's going to be naked, collared, and chained all day.
Right. And, and if a submissive questions me or questions the situation, that is about me and not about the situation.
Right.
And I think that is a reality check for some dominants out there. Sometimes it is about you, but most of the time it's about this thing you're trying to build together.
Yeah.
And so that, and it all, the only way to solve any of it, there is no way to look at a situation, especially when you're the one in it,
mm-hmm.
and go, oh, this is me with an ego problem. This is me. This is my submissive, you know, who's afraid of something or with trust issues. There's no way
right.
to know that in the moment. What I'm mm-hmm. saying is it could be any one of these things, and you are
right.
never going to know till you have the conversation.
And also from that, you can say there is no concrete line of where it begins and where it ends.
No, not at all.
Okay? Because just like us, I allow you a certain amount of sassiness because I like that in our relationship.
Right.
If, you know, okay, I'm going to say this. I'm going to put myself out there.
Uh-oh.
Okay? I mean, you're a good girl.
Thank you.
Okay? You are a good girl, which is a wonderful thing, and I appreciate that, and I respect that.
Hmm.
But...
Oh, God.
It also means I very rarely get to dole out punishment.
Right. And we very rarely do punishment.
Right. But the sassiness is what kind of keeps things going.
Well, you know what's funny? Here's what's funny. Right. Like,
but everybody is going to have their own line of what's too much or too little.
Absolutely. And it's going to change from day to day.
Right.
It's going to change from situation to situation.
Yes.
I'm allowed to get away with a whole hell of a lot more when it's just the two of us in private than I can in public.
Oh, absolutely.
But you know what's funny? So you're saying, oh, that's kind of why I like the sass. Ha ha. Well, you know, here's what happens. If I think I have gone over the line, oh, sass, I am mortified.
Yes, she
is. I am mortified. I'm such a people pleaser and I'm trying so hard to be a good girl. And because only when we are both genuinely actively playing and it's actual punishment, which for us is extremely,
mm-hmm.
extremely rare, that's the only time that's fun for me. The few times, and they have been very, very few, that you felt that I went over the line enough to warrant a genuine punishment that was not corner time. We've already established I hate fucking corner time. But where you have spanked my ass to the point where I had to discover that, no, sometimes you don't like a spanking.
There are different kinds of spankings,
right.
And that proves the point.
I did not like that. Okay, I'm pretty sure if you had fingered me at that point, my body would have told you something different. But I'm like, I don't like that. I'm not seeking that out because that's how I am
right.
as a submissive. And I think that's part of it. I think it's, we have these expectations of what who we think we will be as a submissive or as a dominant based on what we read or what we watch or who we see and who we follow. And we are in a weird position that it sounds kind of weird to say it out loud, but we are hearing from people who are like, we look up to you and we admire you. And I just keep thinking, oh my God, I need to show you more warts of ours because you would not.
Yeah.
If you could see how ridiculous it sometimes is, I'm sure, you know, we're human, I swear to you. But I know how that is where you come across a couple and you think, yeah, they're doing it, quote, right. Well, we are trying to do it, quote, right for us.
Right.
And the thing I hope that we always sort of impress upon people is that what is right for us, what works for us,
may not necessarily be right for you.
You can, everybody has to have a point where you start, right? So if you hear us describe something that we do and it sounds interesting to you, that's a great place to start because you heard somebody you trust say, this is how we do a thing and it works for us. And you go, okay, well, I've got, you know, a resource here that says they do this thing and it works. and it's interesting. I will try it. Here's what I need you to remember. You will not have the same experience with it, and it is okay for you to go, okay, I didn't like that at all. That's fine that that Kayla girl likes that shit, but I don't like that at all. I'm gonna go do something else. Or for you to go, I like part of that, but not all of that, so I'm gonna do it differently. Every part of BDSM and a DS relationship and kink in general, however you experience kink,
right,
is you can personalize it. Every bit of it.
Well, absolutely. You take what works for you and discard the rest.
And you modify
because not
and change.
Everything works the same for everybody. No different than different submissive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The woman that I had that was submissive to me prior to meeting you, we had a very strict protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Which totally different from what we have.
You and I tried a strict protocol at first. It didn't really work for us.
It didn't.
And not just because we were long distance. It really didn't work once we were together.
No. No.
I don't think I could be a sassy if we stayed strict.
You couldn't. Wouldn't.
It would be very difficult.
Yes.
I would be very sad.
Yes.
And yet, when I first had my first dominant partner, we were at a very strict protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that's what I wanted. And in that very short time that I was with that person,
right,
it was fine. But knowing what I know now, mm-hmm, I think, oh, I wouldn't have lasted more than a couple more months with that. Because the smart ass side of myself would have to have some place to go.
You would have been topping from the bottom.
Probably. Not intentionally. Again, yeah, not intentionally. But I would, yeah, I would be like, oh, what happens if I say this? What happens if I say that? Oh, you know, you need an outlet for these things.
Right.
Did we beat the topping from the bottom horse to death?
I think so. I think we beat it down.
I think we went on tangents. I know, we did beat it down. I think we went on tangents. Hopefully we brought it back home.
Yeah.
So, like we try to always do, but sometimes I forget to be all, you know, semi-professional about this. If you have thoughts about topping from the bottom or questions about it.
Absolutely.
Reach out. Comment on the show notes page. Talk to us on social media. Email us. Message us on FET, which is really popular for a lot of people. And just so you know, because God damn it, he's taken a selfie of it. He has put on his Doctor Who bow tie that usually sits on our microphone. And I like it on our microphone because this is a total timey-wimey thing. But anyway, you can reach out to us. I personally have gotten to a point where I kind of prefer email because it can sit there and I can go back to it.
Right.
But however you're comfortable, FetLife, mm-hmm, Twitter. Mostly FetLife and Twitter.
Right.
Or email. Feel free to reach out. Ask us questions. Let us know if you agree or disagree or have a different experience with it or mm-hmm have realized something that maybe we didn't mention about topping from the bottom.
Right.
We love to hear from you. We can't learn ourselves unless people tell us their experiences.
Because there's new things that we don't know about. We're always learning too.
Absolutely. So there's that. And before we close and go into our bonus section, which we're totally going to do.
Okay.
I have a thing I need to do.
Okay.
So here's what's annoying. When I have birthdays, I plan them on the day a show goes live so that you can sneak and sing happy birthday to me and then I get to find it later. But you are not that accommodating. I'm not singing happy birthday to you. Don't look at me like that. But I am going to tell the whole fucking world that your birthday is coming up and it is between this show and the next. He was looking at me like he thought I was going to sing. None of y'all want me to sing, y'all. Your ears would start to bleed. It would be so bad. John Brownstone's birthday is July 12th. I won't tell him how old you are right now. I'll tell him later. So this show will
come out. Some people already know. Pixie asked me the other day.
Well, see, that's fine. I'll tell people later, but you were kind of upset about it earlier, so I won't say it. He's not old. So his birthday is July 12th. In between when this show comes out and when the next show comes out, and on the day the next show comes out, we are traveling mm-hmm to Mississippi to go see family and get my kid. And so we'll be recording. That'll be timey-wimey. We'll be recording way early. So I can't, like, surprise you with anything because you're the editor. So I just have to embarrass you while recording and then make sure you don't edit this out.
Well, I will say this. I am not an old fart. I am an old fart in training.
Oh, gosh. Do we have to say fart? Like, does that have to be part of the record and history of loving BDSM?
Well, I could have went with dirty old man.
Well, you're totally a dirty old man. That's why I like you.
No, I'm a dirty old man in training.
No, you're a dirty old man. I'm so sorry. No. I'll take old fart in training, even though I really... Why am I still saying that stupid word? But you are definitely a dirty old man. I have checked out women and others with you. We have checked out good-looking people together. You are totally a dirty old man. Winter is the best because he has a boot fetish, and so all the people are wearing boots, even though it's Florida and you only get like half a day each year where you can legitimately wear boots. I had to go to London to wear my boots this year. And so, yeah, we can't go anywhere. Starbucks, the grocery store. He's like, oh, fuck. And I used to ask, what are you looking at? And now I know I just look down and look for the nearest pair of boots. But now I think he's trained me well, y'all. When I see boots before he does, I nudge him because I'm a good partner and submissive.
Yes, you are.
Okay. So his birthday is coming up. And it's okay if you don't remember on July 12th. But if you think about it, whenever you think about it between now and the next show, inundate him with wishes and love, because I promise you this show would not be what it is today with the listeners we have if it were not for you, John Brownstone. Whatever. When I was talking to myself by myself very early on, there were like five people listening. I bring on John Brownstone and the whole world dropped their panties, okay? And they said, yes, we will listen now. And also, I would not be cute without you to play off of. So I need you for so many reasons. But I get to officially be the first to say, because it's a week from your birthday, happy birthday. I love you so much. Happy birthday. You're the best daddy ever. I love you so much.
Thank you, baby girl.
You're welcome, daddy. And no, you cannot edit this out. I will stand over you.
Watch me.
I will safe word. I will totally use my safe word. You're not allowed to edit this out. You're allowed to let me gush over you so then our listeners can gush over you. So if you're like...
Well, we've run...
it's fine. If people are done and don't want to listen, they will have turned off. And our crickets, God love you, you tend to stay to the bitter, bitter end. I'll keep the bonus section short.
Okay.
But if you're like, well, how do I inundate John Brownstone with well wishes like Kayla Lourdes told me to? Let me help you. He is... You're Southern Sir on Fat Life. I'm not crazy. Southern Sir on Fat Life. Southern Sirs PL. Fuck, I hate your Twitter.
You say that every time. No.
Here's the thing. If you are following Loving BDSM, or if you're following me on Twitter, he is tagged in our profiles, so you can get him that way. He is on Facebook as John Brownstone. It's Darth Vader is your avatar now. He has a blog, southernsirsplace.com, southernsir@gmail.com. inundate him, y'all.
You left one out. Good. Yay.
Tumblr. southernsir.tumblr.com. Google+, not that he's there very much, but he is technically there. So yeah, wherever you are, he is. He's on Instagram, Kinky John Brownstone. Oh, yeah. Blow it the fuck up. Ideally July 12th, but it's okay if you won't remember and it's not. Whenever you think about or hear this, because you deserve all the love. And that is how I feel about that. And now we are done and can close the show for anybody who's got a life to live and then do the bonus section.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
We'll see you next week. I'm gonna lick your finger. Hey y'all, I really am gonna keep this short, but we got a shit ton of mail. Oh my gosh. And if you're wondering how old daddy is, he did get a thing from AARP that he refuses to sign up for, and I'm like, no, but don't they get good discounts? We should totally take advantage of that. So it's a shit ton of mail, and I'm gonna try and go through it sort of fast but without jipping anybody. So we got two postcards from somebody in Texas, but I don't have an avatar kind of name, so I don't want to say his name out loud, but you will know who you are because I'm going to answer your question on the air. So he asked about the fact that I don't wear panties, because I say all the time, mm-hmm, I'm not wearing panties, except when I do. and he asked, okay, when did that start and how does that work? So here's how, and people have asked this before. So mm-hmm, here's the story about the panties. Back in the day when we were long distance, one of the first things in a kinky way that we agreed to is that daddy could pick out my panties for me every single day. Right. And so I had to make an entire picture catalog of every pair of panties I own, mm-hmm, put it in Dropbox or whatever. And then every day he would send me a picture and those were the panties I wore. And then I would take a picture of myself wearing said panties and send it to him. It was our kink thing that we did. It was great. But when we moved in together, he still still picks out my panties, but he just sort of stopped picking out panties for me.
Right.
So I don't wear panties very often. Now, I can request panties. People have asked this question. I can request them. Like, if I know, like, when I go get my wax done, I prefer to wear underwear that day. And so he will pick some out. If I'm wearing a skirt and I've got to be kind of professional, I will request panties.
Right.
If I'm going to the school.
And I pretty much know those days when she's going to wear a skirt. So I know
exactly.
Sometimes even the night before I'll pick something out.
Right. So, and then when we travel, he tends to pick out panties. And I might not wear them. He might say, no, you don't need to wear any today. But he does pick them out in case I wear them while we're traveling. And then he'll pick them out. He'll pick out all the ones he wants me to wear while we're gone. And then each day he'll pick them out.
Right.
So that is the panty thing. I did not stop wearing panties until after we'd moved in together.
Correct.
And I gave him control over my panties when we were first together. But the person who asked this question is from Corpus Christi, Texas. And we got two postcards. So postcards will be coming your way. And then we got a postcard, total baby girl thing, with stickers and purple ink and an ice cream cone stamp from, I think that says Daddy Joe. I hope I didn't fuck that up. And baby girl K. K? Am I saying that right? Or Kat? I'm so sorry. I know you are in Astoria, Oregon, though, and it is a beautiful, beautiful postcard.
Yes.
We have a lot of listeners in the...
West Coast.
Northern West Coast. So then we got one from... Okay, so I'm totally going to brag on Miss May. I know her real name because we are friends in real life. But I'm going to brag on Miss May for a while. She sent us a sweet, sweet card. It was not a postcard, and that was fine. It didn't have to be. That she said she picked it out because it had purple on it. You know me so well. But it's this picture of this little girl on her tricycle standing up to reach the top of the mail drop slot of the post... box, and she said, yeah, that would be me. And I've met her, and she is petite, so yes, she probably would too. So the
in a very cute way
she always has really pretty colored hair too. I follow her on Instagram too, so I can see her hair. So she goes by Miss May. That's the name we get to use, but I know her real name, haha. She sent us this card to say thank you because Daddy helped her with something, and that was awesome. But she did something for us that was totally, like, crazy and unexpected.
Yes.
And it came at the perfect time, and we love her for it forever. And I always feel weird saying this because I don't want anybody else to, like, think that, it just is weird. But I still want to give the shout out. She sent us Starbucks cards from Amazon, so they came directly to us, and it was awesome. It was so awesome because... I think I had just hit zero on my Starbucks, and you had hit zero, and we went, look! So it came at the exact perfect time.
It was perfect timing.
And then there was this card that came a few days later, separate, and it was very sweet. And it's funny to us when you thank us for things that we don't feel we need to be thanked for. Like helping people, on a one-on-one level, or the way we, you know, do our website and stuff, we do it because it's important to us and it matters. And we sincerely hope we can help an individual.
Yeah.
And so to have a specific person go, no, you totally helped me. It's like, well, we love you and we're glad we could help you. So all the love to Miss May. She knows we love her. And then I got one from somebody who I really like how you think. This is from the wilds of MN is Minnesota, right? I'm not crazy.
No. You're not crazy. No.
I am crazy. Well. But this is from Bad Wolf and Miss Voodoo. And it is a beautiful, beautiful, I'm going to say the city because I might be wrong about the state. And I will feel really shitty if I'm wrong about the state. Cannon Falls?
Yeah.
Okay, I suck at geography, and I cannot remember my initials, and I probably should have looked it up, so if I've said your state wrong. No, I haven't, because it came through St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm right, it's Minnesota. Yay, I got my geography right. And what is really cool is that they are protecting their privacy, and I totally get that. So they sent an envelope that will not, like, show the postcard.
Ooh, yeah.
Already taken care of. So that is really cool. Thank you for that, because, I totally just sent you a postcard, and you might not have liked... Somebody would have asked a question, like, why is this half-naked person... postcard. That would have been. And then we got one from, I always say his last name wrong, so I'm gonna say who he is online.
Too cool to be on earth.
He is poly, he is bi, he is open, and we love him. I follow
He's
him
great.
On Twitter and Instagram, which
follow,
is pretty much the perfect place for people to follow me. And
I follow him both places too. Great stuff.
He's awesome.
And he's from my old stomping grounds.
Oh, wow. Well, this actually came from Highland Park, New Jersey.
Okay.
So that is, from the north.
Yeah.
They're probably very comfortable right now, and we are, like, melting.
Yeah.
In a few months, they'll probably wish they were down here.
Yeah.
And I will not want to be up there.
No.
No. So, yeah, he is a great friend, mm-hmm. and he listens to the podcast, and that is even better. And so we got a whole bunch of mail all at one time, so I have to sit down and do postcards, which y'all know I suck about doing that. Okay, so...
Now I'm home, I'll whip you into shape on that.
Is that a promise? Please make that a promise. So if anybody wants to send us postcards, the link to all the information will be in the show notes page. In the interest of time, I'm not going to rattle off the address. Just know that the link is in the show notes and you can get to it. And if you have subscribed to our newsletter, you get it there. So yay. Okay. So I do want to do a really quick thing about the first month, which was July 1st.
Right.
We did it.
Yeah.
We had a live person watching. Everybody else was like, fuck, I didn't get to it in time. So they watched it. Whoever was watched it later, which is part of it. We set it up that way. And Artful Mother, I know she just squeed.
Yep.
She was watching live and she was tweeting
and
at the same time.
She was tweeting at the same time.
Because I do not understand technology and did not make it easy for people to actually get to the live chat part.
Yep.
So she tweeted us and I would look down at my phone and Daddy would look down at his phone. There's a camera right in front of us, so we looked crazy. We were able to answer her questions in the munch.
In the moment, right.
And we talked about munches and the local community, and she asked specific questions, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are a paid member at the highest level, it's there to be watched.
Yeah.
So it's available, and we will do the next one the first Saturday in August.
Correct.
Whatever date that is. I don't have a calendar. Daddy's pulling up right now. And for right now, until we hear something different, I'm thinking 2 o'clock again. We haven't gotten feedback on, 2 o'clock sucks, but 3 o'clock would be better, or 1 o'clock would be better.
Okay. First Saturday in August would be
August 5th. So August 5th.
Right.
And if you are a top kinky fucker paid member, we'll pop that date out and all that good stuff. So that was awesome, and that was weird to watch ourselves on camera. And what was really weird is we tested it one way and it looked a certain way. And then when we went live, it didn't look that way. So we've got to play with that because we liked how it looked when we tested it.
Right.
We're like, look, we did this right. And the other thing is Kinky Book Club is totally going. Did I finish reading the book for July on July 1st? Yes, I did on July 1st. He's shaking his head. Did I finish it before July 1st? No, I did not. I was reading. We had to travel to see my aunt and uncle because my aunt had eye surgery. My uncle couldn't get out of work without losing pay for it. And so we went over to help them. And I tried to read the book in the car both ways. And I couldn't get through it. So I had to hurry up and read it Saturday morning before the munch and before the book club started. So we've got a pretty good conversation going. I'm sort of slowly dripping out the questions so people have time to kind of come in and get acclimated. And I'm right now, as of the day we're recording, which is the day before the show goes live, I've only asked a couple of questions so that people are like, oh, shit, I've only read the first few chapters. You can join. And then I'll do another like question or two about the next section of the book. And I have a poll for any Kinky Book Club member.
Do you have a poll? Is there something?
P-O-L-L poll. I would kill myself, hurt myself, or accidentally strangle myself if I had a P-O-L-E poll. Anyway, there's a poll in the forum for the book club to help pick the next book. But I think the poll is only open for a few more days. So, you know, what I'll do is I'll kind of rank them. If like I have four. Plus an other, so if somebody wants to suggest something. But anything that gets like the top 2 or 3 vote getters, that'll be, you know, August, September, or October. Try to make it easy on people. So, yeah, that's actually happening and we're doing it.
Yay.
I know. I feel like, I think, what did I tell you earlier? I feel like I'm in a hamster wheel and I'm running, but I'm not actually getting anywhere. So, yeah. So there's a lot going on.
Yes. And this as always.
As always, which is what I like. If I didn't like it, I think I would do something different, but I do like it, so I do it. But this is a big, long, honking show.
Yes,
that was a big, honking topic. I hope we did it justice.
I hope so, too.
I always worry that we don't do it justice. I know. But you know what? I tell myself, and this is what I got into a couple conversations with people who ask questions specifically about how the hell do you put a podcast together? And I told them the thing I have to remind myself. You cannot freak out that you might not get every single detail shared about a topic in an episode. All it means is you come back to that topic later.
Revisit
later from a different angle or a different point of view, or just go, hey, we're going to do part 2.
Yep.
Here's more to say. So, you know, I try to be kind and gentle to myself. So, but yeah, this topic really did get me thinking, which was kind of nice. I mean, I feel like I have an opinion on the most basic things in DS. Mm-hmm. And every once in a while, there's a thing that comes up, like topping from the bottom, where I'm like, well, let me try and think about this more fully. And what does this actually mean? And oh, look, ideas and light bulbs. Mm-hmm. And fascinating. Oh, and anybody, and thank you, Panda Kitten, for this. We played with file size, trying to make smaller files for back-end technical reasons. And for a couple of shows, it killed our sound quality.
Yeah.
And we were not following up right with actually checking our sound quality like we should have. Because, like I said, I'm a hamster in a wheel when I'm not actually going anywhere, just doing a lot of running. And so we've bumped it back up. So, yeah, if you notice a marked difference there, that's why. Yeah. We are aware of it. We think we are back to where we want to be.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were trying to compress file sizes so it wasn't so big for multiple reasons. And this is the best compromise we can get.
Right.
We think.
We hope.
Yeah. And so, yeah, if you notice those kinds of changes, we're just playing with stuff in the back end. We've been playing with stuff with the website, trying to make sure it's running smoothly.
Mm-hmm.
Working through things on Twitter. We have a business meeting coming up because I walked in the door after my errand yesterday, my wax, and I said, I have a thought, I have an idea. And it took us on one tangent that was not the idea itself. It was the tools we need to do the idea. But we haven't come back to the idea itself.
Right.
And so what we're hoping is if we can make all of this work, there will be more available through Loving BDSM. You will get more of a John Brownstone presence than you currently do, which would make me happy.
I know.
There's even been talk about video that's not behind a paid wall. We shall see.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot to discuss.
Yeah.
So you might see some changes over the next few months. We hope you will. We hope
right.
We still have
a few things to talk about and work out. Some technical difficulties at the moment.
Yes. Of course, they all cost money.
Yeah.
And we also need to, and it will be in August, the Dom and Sub meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Those will be live streamed as well.
Right.
Those will be for Kinky Fucker paying members. That's mm-hmm. the $7.99 a month. We will schedule those. Now that we know the live stream is not an issue, we just need to schedule them so that...
Mm-hmm.
But they won't be like on the exact same Saturday as the Munch. We'll do it at a different time to try and hit more people.
Yeah, I tweeted about this yesterday a little bit. My computer has finally sailed off into the sunset.
I need to plan a memorial service for it.
Yeah. We're Dom Sign suggested a Viking funeral, which I like. You know,
sending it off into the
Yeah, I know, right?
You like Vikings too.
sending it off into the sunset in the Gulf of Mexico while firing flaming arrows at it.
Do you know how to shoot an arrow?
Yeah.
And actually hit anything?
Been a while, but okay. Yeah. But yeah, I've had this computer now 8 years or more. And it's been a great computer. I actually had it built originally for gaming. Been a little powerhouse. I had it set. I was running both Windows and Linux on it, which I love Linux. Powerful system. And it did everything and anything I could have wanted it to. But... like anything else, it's shown its age.
What is it? Does it age 10 years for every human year?
It's like dog years, yeah.
Well, dog years would only be 56. I'm thinking 80, 10 years.
Oh, okay.
I like my math better.
All right.
Okay.
And yesterday it just pushed a power button and it flat out refuses
said,
to do anything.
No.
It's like, please let me rest.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Fuck you and the horse you ran on. Go find yourself a new bitch.
You know, it's, over the last 8-9 years, I have pieced it back together.
Oh, yeah, I've been there
a time or two.
Through the stressful decisions replacing its guts.
Yeah, and it's just had its day.
And at the same time, the system I use for my writing... I'm doing too. It's a small little Chromebook system and it's not meant to do what I need it to do. I've asked way too much of it. And so that potentially has to be replaced as well.
Right.
Oh yeah, we have to pay for a wedding and we're going to London. Yay!
Yeah.
What the fuck? We are ambitious people.
Yes.
And we will make it work.
Right.
That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. I think we probably need to let these crickets go.
They have, if they're still here, I'm fucking proud of
Yeah.
them. I hope crickets understand they should go when they need to fucking go. At a certain point, we're just naming
Run, them. Run while you can. Save yourselves.
And our child is thinking, can I come out of the bedroom yet?
Right.
You promised me a donut. Okay, y'all. All we right. love you.
We love you.
Thank you for hanging in there with us. Crickets are the best. Bye.